From Johannesburg to Jerusalem, the world is always changing, growing and innovating. Join Benji Shulman for the next hour as he brings you the trendsetters, the thought leaders and those creating news before it happens. Only on the New Blue Review, your favorite Jewish culture and current affairs show. Every Monday at 9 a.m. right here on 101.9 High FM.
You're listening to 101.9 High FM. I'm Benji Shulman. This is the New Blue Review. And as we always do every single week around this time, we're talking to Rob Hutchinson from Dear South Africa, talking to you about what is going on in Parliament. Rob, welcome to the show as always.
Good morning, Benji. Great to be on as usual. Thanks very much.
My pleasure. Great to be with you as always. Now, Rob, you've been very busy the last few weeks. Parliament may have finished, but you guys most certainly have not. Because you're putting together a report to the deputy speaker, because we don't have a speaker, about public participation in Parliament, and it's actually going into the final report that Parliament has to give about this parliamentary period that we've had in the last 5 years.
Well, that's right, Benji. So at the end of every term, there are certain working groups within Parliament, more on the administrative side, have to actually produce a report on what they've done. And some time ago, we formed a public participation working group with civil society in collaboration with the Public Education Office within Parliament and a few other groups and individuals. And the purpose of that group is to monitor public participation, facilitate it, help each other, bring issues forward through Parliament, and create a collaboration between civil society and Parliament, sort of keeping Parliament on their toes, but also working together to further the process of participatory democracy. So we put a report together that's not finalized yet, but we are going to be presenting it to Parliament, and especially to the Deputy Speaker of the House, who's acting as the Speaker of the House currently. But yeah, that's all going through. We'll be talking about what we've achieved as the working group throughout the year, and explaining how we're going to take this initiative much further forward and bring public participation right to the forefront. And it doesn't only include having your say on bills. It includes the petitions. Parliament have recently formed a new petition division that deals with specifically with petitions, but not your normal petitions where people just go and tick boxes on certain issues, but where they actually go forward into Parliament and they petition Parliament, asking Parliament to take action on a certain issue that affects civil society. So it's all quite exciting, quite a few things going up. And then hopefully this report will secure that initiative into the 7th Parliament when it does continue.
What other groups are out there doing this sort of thing? Is it quote-unquote pressure groups that have specific interests, or are there groups that are to get other things done? Like what are the other sorts of people that are signed up onto the report?
It's a whole lot of civil society groups. Parliamentary Monitoring Group is a big player in this as well. They monitor Parliament, they take notes, they attend committee meetings, and they publish it on their website. A fantastic organization that keeps the public informed about what's going on in Parliament. So it's with them. There's a launch of a few other initiatives, and it's with a few other civil society groups as well. Anybody can join it. Anybody can join the public participation working group, as long as they do have a proper role within civil society, are focused on collaboration with other groups, and obviously with Parliament. So it's a collaborative report with the civil society organizations, even individuals, and obviously with Parliament.
Very, very interesting. I'll definitely be looking forward to discussing what's in the report going. The question I have around Parliament, of course, is that it's nearly finished, yet they're like still trying to push through a whole bunch of bills. There was discussion of the Bella Bill this week, which we've discussed as well extensively. Of course, NHI is a big deal. Also, I saw something around the Political Party Funding Act. There was a question around what's going on there. So Actually, kind of Parliament storming towards the end of the year and end of its term as hard as it can.
Yeah, it is. Things are heating up in Parliament. I think Ramaphosa needs to look for more than just one pen at this stage. Apparently, there are 27 bills that are waiting for his signature, all on his desk. And remember when you talked about he's just looking for a pen to sign the NHI, but he seems to be dragging his heels on that for some unknown reason. I think it's more of a political campaign move on the ANC side. And you'll probably sign it at the last minute, if at all, before the elections. But yep, there's a lot going forward. Like I said, 27 bills, and there's still, I think the last count was about just over 60 bills that are still moving through Parliament between the NCOP, the National Assembly, the committees, and so on. Most of which won't see the end of the year, which means they'll have to be either revived in the new parliament, in the seventh parliament, or they'll be shelved. We don't know at this stage which is going to happen.
Yeah, certainly very, very interesting, and we'll have to see where things go. One of the things which is interesting about Parliament is it's going to change in some way when the elections happen, and then, as you said, the seventh Parliament starts again. What are the processes like for a new Parliament startup? How do we get a new Parliament, then we have to get a new president? Is it like what are the new things that a new parliament has to do once it gets done with the old parliament?
Well, most of it's unknown at this stage. I mean, it's been the ANC for the past, what, 30 years now. If the ANC does come out on top and still with the majority, then unfortunately we won't see a coalition government. It'll just be the ANC again. However, Ramaphosa will stay until the end of his term, which ANC elects their president at their national conference, which is normally held in December. So then, only then will we have a new president as such, unless something else happens. If the ANC do lose and a coalition government does step in, well, who knows what's going to happen then? Because it'll be a coalition government that does win, there will have to be an agreement between the coalition and to determine who's going to be the president, and it'll be elected by the coalition itself in an internal election. Unfortunately, South Africans don't have the opportunity to elect a president directly. They can only vote for a party, and the party then elects the president, which is a bit unfortunate. It'd be great if you could actually see a sort of direct democracy where you could elect your own representative and hold them accountable, and so on. Yeah, but it's nobody really knows at this stage. So it's I think it's going to be a
Well,
rather exciting time.
it does create some sort of intriguing possibilities here, Rob, because let's say the ANC does go a little bit below 50%, or a lot. There's talk about low 40s, and there's not a lot of time actually between, I think it's something like 2 weeks between the elections and when you have to elect the president of parliament. Now, you may get the coalition, as you say, going together, but if there's fighting amongst these different groups, people, technically speaking, whoever wants to stand from the parliament can stand. So you could have Steenhuisen and Ramaphosa and Julius and someone all say, "Well, we're all going to run because no one is really doing anything." And at that point, my understanding is that you don't necessarily need a majority; you just need the most votes. So actually, it could be in a kind of funny way you might end up with the president in a sort of minority status. That isn't the ANC under sort of some weird mathematical formula that people can't agree on what they need to do.
Yeah, you're 100% correct, and that's what I'm concerned about. There hasn't been much talk around the coalition as such, as who's the leader of it and who's going to take control, and what the positions are going to be should they win. Which brings a bit of doubt into mind. Are they confident that they are going to win, or is it just a noise-making exercise? But I'm sure as we get closer to the more information will come out. It also brings a big question into my mind about what would South Africa rather want? A ANC as a governing party, or a ANC as the official opposition, with and they will still hold the majority in parliament. That kind of question just raises some red flags for me. If the ANC are still the official op if they are the official opposition, they can still hold 47, 48% in parliament and vote on anything, vote everybody else out. Because it's not to say that the coalition partners will vote as a coalition. They're still independent parties and they can still disagree on matters. So, oh, it's a very worrisome time, I'd say.
Yeah, and as you say, the ANC have been quite careful not to put their premier candidate always forward. I mean, in Gauteng, you've got Lesufi, and he's there and other places. But like, for example, in the Western Cape, they're running candidate lists in terms of like a named person. They were talking about Naledi Pandor at some point, and then talking about the sort of opposition junior dude, Syed. But they haven't put someone forward, and they don't actually have to. But it shows that there's sort of like some dissension in the ranks. And I think it will also be interesting in that, because we have such a fluid system here, you have a city like it's Ekwini maybe, which is a city, and then you have the if it's provinces that are up for coalitions and national, you kind of start playing a very complicated game of 3D chess, where you could swap a city for a province and a province for a ministry post and a ministry post for the deputy president or something in a quite an elaborate sort of cross coalition across different parts of the system.
It's like I said, Benji, I think you spot on the money. What you're saying is that it's a total unknown. Total unknown, and we can speculate as much as we want and come up with ideas, but we at the end of the day we really don't know what's going to happen, because it really is stepping into new territory here from both sides. If the ANC wins,
Donald,
it'll go that way. If they don't, then who knows?
as Donald Rumsfeld used to say, there's known unknowns and unknown unknowns. I think we have a few unknown unknowns that are certainly going to be with us. But the point is that if you want some known unknowns, you definitely need to vote. And you definitely need to comment, Rob. So if people want to comment on things that are coming up, where can they go?
Well, as usual, go straight onto the public participation platform, dsafrica.co.za. Have your say, go through things, make a noise, agree, disagree, but definitely have your say. Don't let the opportunity go by.
We may not know the future, but we definitely can comment on it. And the way to do that is with Rob Hutchinson and Dear South Africa. Rob, thank you so much for joining us as always. We'll chat to you again next week.
Fantastic, Benji. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
There we go. Rob Hutchinson there from Dear South Africa.